You know, last week we spent some time talking about how it's hard to believe God, and it is a struggle. And we look at our world and we wonder, well, what does it take for God to get people's attention? And I had thought back in 2001, 9/11. We were living in New Jersey. We were relatively close to New York City. Some of our people were affected by it, and our local fire firemen were all involved, and it was quite the experience. But for weeks, people would walk up to the church building and ask for prayer because they were so filled with fear about what was going on. And people seemed to be more in tune with getting back to God. But after a few months, that began to wane. And then around, 2008, there was a big economic downturn, and many people were troubled by that. But it didn't seem to have the spiritual impact upon people that 9/11 did. And other things have happened since, you know, lots of fires and floods and so forth. And now we have the coronavirus and all around the world. And yet I keep reading, like this week, you know, politicians refusing to give God any recognition for what's going on. And in fact, a lot of the political agenda, the things that go against God's will, are being pushed again and coming back into the news a little more. And, you know, people just non-repentant, not turning back to God. And that's nothing new. That's nothing new. We see plenty of examples of that in Scripture. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Elijah and how bad things were in his day. Because the northern kingdom of Israel never had a good king. When there was civil war after the death of Solomon, the northern 10 tribes formed the nation of Israel, the southern 2 tribes, the kingdom of Judah. But the kings right away in Israel tried to separate from the worship of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, in the temple, and just started leading people away. They never had a good king. And every king after the first one was worse than the previous one. And when you get down to Ahab and Jezebel, and they're two of the most notorious people in the Old Testament. Ahab was just a horrible man. And Jezebel, well, you know, even her name to this day is not a pleasant name. Terrible people. They had led the people of Israel totally away from God. And at this point in history, it just seems the northern kingdom of Israel has no regard for God whatsoever. So God sends Elijah to challenge Ahab. And Ahab is unrepentant. So he says, God says, there's not going to be rain for 3 years. And during this time, as the drought continues on in the first year and into the second, now they're after Elijah. They're blaming Elijah. They will not give God credit for this. They're blaming Elijah. So Elijah has to hide out. And you know, you may remember the story of the different ways that God took care of him. But then near, you know, a little over 3 years, God's ready to send the rain again to show proof. But still, the people are unrepentant. After all of this, you know, drought, 3 years of drought, you know, no crops, there's a food shortage, the water shortage, and still the people will not turn to God. So God sends Elijah to the people, to Ahab. And Elijah lays down a challenge. This is what God told him to do. He, in essence, challenges the priests of Baal, which everyone was worshiping at that time, the false god. He challenges them to a duel of sorts. He says, let's see whose God answers. We'll set up our own altars, and we'll pray to our God, and we'll see which one answers. So I believe it was around 50, maybe it's a little more than that, Baal priests. They build their altar that morning, and all the people have gathered around to watch this, and Ahab is there, and they build their altar, and they start praying to Baal. And they're marching around, and they're wailing, and so forth, and they're calling upon Baal, and nothing's happening. And Elijah decides he's going to taunt them a little bit. So he encourages them, you know, pray a little louder. Shout a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. You got to wake him up. And he's, you know, taunting them like that. And finally, they're wearing out. They're cutting themselves, you know, and bleeding and, you know, pleading on Baal. And of course, nothing happens. So now it's Elijah's turn. And reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. That's around 17 quarts, I think it is. I meant to look it up, but I forgot. Sorry. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." A number of things stand out, I think, kind of give us some encouragement as we face our world today. One thing I find fascinating at the very beginning of this passage is, it says that when he called the people closer to him to observe, he had to repair the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. I mean, one of the 12 tribes was the so-called religious tribe. They were the ones that were to lead worship, that they were to teach the people the word of God, to run worship. And yet they had wandered so far from God that even the altar itself was in ruins. They had abandoned God so much they did not even attempt to keep up what God had told them to keep up. So in regard to that, their religion was in ruins. And Elijah then builds an altar, builds it back up, and 12 stones representing, the tribes. And he does all of this, gets everything ready, and then he does something interesting. He tells them to fill 4 large jars with water. Now, we're not talking like large pitchers. We're talking like you see in pictures and whatnot. Big jars that the women would hold on their shoulder or carry on top of their heads and, walk around. So these are pretty good size. 4 of them, fill them with water and cover everything with water. They do that. He says, "Well, do it again." They do it again. He says, "Do it a third time." They do it a third time. Some things interesting about that. Water was scarce. Water was precious. And yet the enemies of God were so determined to try to get Elijah to fail that they were willing to sacrifice precious water. I mean, lots of precious water in order to stop him. Evil people will not stop trying to stop the things of God. But the marvelous thing is, the worst man can do cannot stop God. No matter how hard people try to stop God, they cannot. Oh, they think that they're making progress, but then they find out they failed. They cannot stop God, then or now. 2, even though they were making it difficult, Elijah had total confidence in God. In essence, he was saying, as he was taunting the Baal priests, he's taunting the people now. "Go ahead, make it tough. Go ahead. My God's greater than the worst you can do. Go ahead, go ahead. Make it tough." That just will show God's power even more. But they did it. And then he prayed. And I think this is some things we need to be praying about in our day and age. He prayed that the people would recognize that God was trying to turn their hearts back to Him. That's what it says there. It says that you, O Lord, are turning their hearts back again. That was the whole reason for this whole thing. God wasn't there to show off. God was wanting to do this in order to get the people to turn their hearts back to Him. Now, sadly, we're going to find out it didn't work. But that's the goal. That's what Elijah was praying for. And that's what we need to be praying for in this day and age with the virus scare and everything that's going on. We need to pray that people will wake up and turn back to God. And in some parts of the world, it is happening. We have friends in Myanmar, and Joshua LeMay, he's been putting things, pictures and comments on Facebook where he has shown even soldiers and even police officers leading public worship in the streets of praising God. You know, some people in some parts of the world are waking up. I don't hear it so much in Europe or in our own country, but that's what we need to be praying for. That's what Christians need to be praying for, that people will recognize God is trying to call them, their hearts, back to Him. And notice the emphasis, hearts, here. So he prayed. The second thing he prayed for is that they, the people, would recognize that all he was saying and doing was from God. So they would look at Elijah and not say, well, this is Elijah, but he's a prophet of God. He's doing what God told him and saying what God told him to say. And I think sometimes in our world, in our day and age, we need to also be speaking about God and things that God has told us to other people, and make sure what we're saying is God's word, not just our opinion, so that and then we pray that God, that people will recognize these are the words of God. We Christians are sharing what God has said, what God is doing, and pray that people will recognize that, that it's not just our opinion. Because that's the way the world looks at us. Oh, well, you're Christians. You guys are opinionated. You guys are prejudiced. Well, no. We hold to the Word of God, and that's what you need to see. So that's what Elijah prayed for. That's what we need to pray for. So as he prayed then, fire fell from heaven. And you notice it burned up not just the sacrifice, you know, the bull that he cut up on the altar. It also consumed the wood, which you would expect, but the stones as well. I mean, think about that. Fire fell from heaven, even the stone altar was consumed. And the soil around it. And licked up all the water in the trench. In other words, what happened was God sent fire from heaven, and what was left was a hole in the ground. A charred hole in the ground. Where this altar with all that water was totally gone. Consumed by fire. God did a miracle. Now, I think that was probably easy for God. I mean, God is God. But He showed His great power. He is greater than man. He is greater than anything. Now, shortly thereafter, after this is over, God does send the rain. Just as Elijah said, God would. God kept His word. Did the people truly believe? Well, it says here, the people fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Yeah, they recognized it, but the next day, Jezebel puts a price on Elijah's head. Elijah flees, and he's convinced he's the last of the faithful. See, he didn't take the people seriously in their proclamation. They said it because of the evidence, but did their hearts change? Well, as you know, Elijah fled, and after a while, God did speak to Elijah, and he said, "Elijah, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. Out of the several millions of people who lived in Israel, there were 7,000 that still followed God." God has always been about the remnant, the minority of people who are the true believers. And that's true for us today. Though the world doesn't believe, and even many Christians have gone the way of Israel, where they deny so much of God's word and are so worldly. But God looks at us and He sees those who truly believe and are faithful. And that's why we need to be faithful. We need to continue being strong. No matter what others say, no matter what happens, we trust the great God Almighty. We pray for God to do a miracle if He so chooses. We need to pray that through all of that's going on, people do turn to God. People, you know, in Myanmar and some of those other countries, they're very strong people who pray hard. You know, they face persecution. They know how to pray and to pray for God's power. And it's working there. And here in America, we need to be praying just as hard. And you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to pray hard. It just takes a few. It takes that minority. And if there are people in other congregations across this land that are praying that people will turn to God, and their voices are tied in with ours in prayer, God's going to do mighty things. Because He always has. And His effort is always to turn hearts back to Himself. Let's keep praying for that, that people will be drawn back to God, that they will indeed wake up. Government may never. You know, hopefully some will, but we need to keep praying. And we need to expect that God's going to act. Elijah had total expectation that God would act. And we need to have that same expectation. Why? Because he did exactly what God told him to do. And you and I, we know what God wants us to do. It's in Scripture. To share the good news with other people and to be faithful. And as we do that, the message of the gospel gets around and people will come to Christ. Right now,